Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kristen Gorick.
And we are all back in the same room.
Goodness!
Yeah, we've been really, really slow on catching up to, or catching Kirsten up to the middle of the season. In part, we think, because it's just not as much fun to record when we're not all in the same room.
And watch all in the same
room.
Yeah,
this is very true.
Yeah.
It's usually so we watch together and then record, and it's just more fun that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my little at-home podcast system, the little arm I attach to my desk keeps falling off, and I think it's in protest of like, I don't want to be here. I miss my real home.
Oh, that's hilarious and sad. Oh, well, that's all right. We're here now, and we're happy. And we just watched season 4, episode 4. It's not episode 7, despite what iTunes says.
Very
right
confusing. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, it's because it has all the VAM and the, you know, the behind the scenes things listed as numerals. We'll get to those eventually for our members of the Incomparable. But for right now, we are sticking to the episodes proper. This one was called Afraid.
And I was
very afraid.
It was a tense and genuinely creepy episode. Where mm-hmm. do you guys want to start with this one? Kirsten, where did you think?
Oh, I felt like at first it was kind of like a slow burn. Mm-hmm. And we were getting a lot of like Jeremy's backstory, which I've been waiting for. So thank you for that. Jer-Bear, we're so glad you're back. And I'm less concerned because I feel like he properly explained himself a little bit.
Yeah.
And his, you know, it's Jeremy. So you know that his intentions are good. We just needed to find out what those were. Fish Lady is very interesting. I still have not figured out where I know her from. But she has this very... like her little suits are lovely mm-hmm. and her energy is just not what I expected for a black badge division.
No, I think she's the perfect illustration of how things have changed from a BBD perspective, at least at this part of BBD.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think what I mean, I'm not a big horror fan, but I felt like this episode had a lot of really great horror tropes, mm-hmm. especially this like slow crawling Reaper man. And so like I wasn't too scared. It was fine. I don't even think I closed my eyes at any point. But there was a lot of really, really tense moments. And I think it's hard for me to see Winona struggling like that. Like she was frozen in fear, which respect because it's freaking scary. But that's not what we're used to. Mm-mm. And so there's obviously like, you know, Nicole's got some trauma. Winona has some trauma. Everyone's working through stuff. And I think it's interesting, but also hard for us not to see them as like their usual kick-ass selves.
Also, I think part of the reason that she was so frozen and scared is because this is something that's like a bloodline thing. Now that we know by the end of this episode mm-hmm. that it's the Clantons, that, you know, her first thing that she said was, I know you and you know me. And then later on, she's like, and it hated me so much. So it's you've got, you know, the classic Earps versus Clantons. OK Corral fight happening, you know, many years later, only using a creepy Reaper, some Inukchucks and... a girl who no longer has a magic gun.
I was going to say, without her gun, mm-hmm. she's just, that's, I think, part of why she's so afraid. She's never been out there without her gun, has she?
Not really. So.
Maybe
that's
for brief like periods.
Her safety blanket, right?
Yeah.
It's what made her take up the whole curse and fight it in the first place, was knowing she had that.
And anytime she didn't have it, it was like, you know, it's she knew it still existed and somebody else had it or it was elsewhere. And now it's just
we
like.
We don't know.
Yeah. No idea.
Is it a gun? Is it a sword?
Well, they certainly didn't find it in that creepy-ass junkyard.
No. Ma'am is the worst.
Yeah.
She's so bad.
She's Mama Dearest.
Mm-hmm. It puts a different light on Cleo and Holt because now you understand why they're terrible is because they deal with terrible, at least, well, physically and emotionally abusive ma'am at home.
Mm. Yeah, yep. I did not see that coming.
And apparently mm-hmm. the Reapers are their ancestors somehow.
He's Uncle Ike.
Uncle Ike.
Uncle Reaper?
Uncle Ike.
Very concerned about that. He's not aging well. His teeth are terrible.
Yeah. No kidding.
It's his hair.
But what do we think of... Oh, I'm totally blanking on his name. What's
Billy?
The kid's name?
Billy. Yeah. Billy the kid?
Billy. He's a kid, right? Of course. I think he's just so sweet and adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's also a badass. He like pulled out his own tooth to save Valdez.
His tooth is like 12 inches long. My God. What was that?
Well, that, I don't know, some sort
is
of
it a Clanton thing.
Yeah. I'm like, how far does that tooth go? Like, into
it went
your
to
brain?
His brain, I think, and then he had to yank it all the way out.
Yeah.
Body horror. Gotta
now
love
we don't
it.
Know what's happening to him, but I'm worried about him.
I know. And like, I just thought that he and Rachel were very cute. And I love the idea of just scavenging through a town. Like when I was a little kid, I used to read The Boxcar Children. Mm-hmm. And like there was a big portion of that was these, you know, orphans trying to find, you know, dishes and plates and just like random stuff that they can use to live on their own. And it was just giving me flashbacks of that. And I was just like, oh yeah, like, you know, if you're in a basically what's a post-apocalyptic landscape, you scavenge for whatever you can find.
You're nesting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Sometimes you find a hubcap and sometimes you find a knife and sometimes you find a mug that says Bunny Loblaw for PTA.
A little nice little leg shout back to Bunny. Terrible Aww. Bunny.
I kind of want one of those mugs.
Yeah, me too, actually.
And then he just broke it. Like, no! I want it!
Bunny's going to be so pissed.
They probably exist somewhere, those probably. Mugs. I wouldn't be surprised.
We should check Etsy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that was super cute. And then, okay, we also have to talk about Winona and Doc.
Oh,
and Doc and Eamon.
Oh, there's so much like sexual tension all over that. Like, uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I really appreciate the Doc Eamon scenes so far in every episode.
I also don't trust him.
Oh, God,
oh,
no.
Oh, God, no.
Like, you are sexy AF, but also super sauce.
Yeah, and he
that's
wears
part
those...
of the reason he's sexy AF.
Yes.
Like, hello.
He wears those gloves all the time, and it's just like, that is sexy and also...
We don't even know what kind of demon he is.
Unusual,
no
yeah.
No idea. Mm-mm.
Like, he's not a vampire, because he specifically talks about Doc's vampirism as
Which
as
I
other.
Forgotten about for a little bit. And was reminding me.
Yep.
Like, if Doc wants to forget, let him forget.
But, you know, he probably needs blood every now and then. And I don't want to think about where they get the blood for that bar.
Uh-uh. No. Can we talk about the creepy bartender who wouldn't stop smiling and didn't blink the entire time? She's
a robot.
She's like a doll
that
they brought to life.
Very strange. Yeah, I mean, maybe she's some kind of, like, pleasure demon or something that doesn't blink because and always smiles just because that's what she's made to do. Or something. Ugh. Yeah, it was a little weird.
She's in thrall or something.
Could be.
Could be. But we didn't see Mercedes this time, which is a little sad.
No, that's true.
It's never enough Mercedes.
Yeah, love her.
But we did have, I thought, some very nice Doc and Winona scenes. Just from, like, their argument was, to me, very cute when, you know, he's mad that she's gone back to Black Badge and she's mad that he's robbing stagecoaches.
They're both valid points.
Yes. Yeah. They are. And they both have really good, you know, reasons for chirping at each other. And then when she, you know, when the rubber hits the road and she's in trouble, he's there for her.
Yeah. And
they're just super cute.
Well, it was so intense. Mm-hmm. And he trusts, like, he doesn't question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see something, I don't question it. Take my guns. We're going to shoot them together.
I'm here for you.
He does not say, like, you know, there's nothing there. He says, I can't see it.
Yeah. Right.
Like, he doesn't even say, he doesn't say, I can't see anything. He specifically says, I can't see it, meaning I know that there's something there because you said it and I trust you and I care. And they, like, just the way that they, like, huddled together and, like, he was supporting her as they were
very
moving.
Nice.
Was, so great.
So sweet.
Mm-hmm. What was less sweet was how Jeremy's amazing guac gun was totally a MacGuffin.
He's gonna be so sad.
And the whole, after all that, her sitting in the car and being like, gonna touch
we never got to see her push the button.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think that was really hilarious because, you know, this is not the highest budget show in the world. So putting together a prop like that was, you know, pretty sweet. And whoever built that prop, thumbs up to you because
props
that was
to that.
Hilarious.
It is very impressive looking.
Yep. But they don't really have the budget to have like a laser gun fired over and over again. And so what do? They just have a Reaper cut it up into pieces before that even gets to be used. So
once.
It's just,
not even once.
Nope. Not even once. Nope.
Which is hilarious and very, it felt very Winona Earp in terms of like the title of the show as opposed to the character. It felt very appropriate for this television show.
I feel like we're getting a whole new level of like canon as well, like where new things are opening up in terms of the Clantons, the Reapers, the whatever black thing flew into Nicole at the end there. We don't know.
So like there's all this episode.
Witchiness. I assume it's witchiness.
It seems very witchy.
Yes. And the fact that she had been there before and apparently made some sort of deal.
And it looked like there was her hair in the jar. I thought I saw a red lock of hair in that jar that
Witchy
Ma'am was holding. So that's concerning.
Yeah. And now, like, what's the fallout of this going to be? Because she's got something nasty inside her right now.
Right? Mm-hmm. Why are there always things flying into people? Spit?
Oh, there was like, that was really gross. That was worse than the blood.
That was, that was worse than the beheading, to be honest.
It was. Yeah. It was way grosser.
Mm-hmm. The beheading was pretty cauterized. There's like no blood gushing all over. Yeah, and like
you
didn't actually see
it. You just heard it.
Well, and then you saw a head.
Yeah, it was like, it's ground beef, basically.
But then this spit thing was like, blah. I had to look away because that was so gross.
Speaking of the deal, it sounds like Nicole made a deal to get Waverly and probably everybody else, but maybe specifically Waverly, I don't know, back. And her argument now is, no, they got themselves out.
Yes.
And I don't like the idea that they didn't get themselves out, that somehow this awful ma'am like had something to do with that. So,
and then that means she's like hella powerful if she was able to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it doesn't seem like she did anything. It seemed, but I guess we don't really know.
We don't know.
I did also appreciate the little bait and switch in terms of like, you, for the beginning of the episode, I thought, even though I had seen this before, I didn't remember. I thought it was Ma'am that had been the one that dripped the blood on Winona's picture and sent the Reaper after Winona. Yeah. And then it turns out, no, it was Cleo because she is angry and jealous. And that was totally not what Ma'am wanted. And she got beat down for it.
Just a little bit. That was some excellent scream acting, whoever plays Cleo. That was like, it was actually difficult to listen to.
It was. And
it was very well done.
And the sound effect of the flesh moving and her bones moving in her hand while she was screaming. That was another, like, I feel like that for me was similar to the spit scene.
Yeah.
In terms of just like how squeaky you feel. Like, bad news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I keep remembering is that we also have this, whatever was in the garden and became Nicole and Doc and Jeremy and and it's like, oh yeah, remember there's that thing?
That thing
and
got
we
out.
Don't,
it's out there somewhere.
We don't know where it is or what's happening with it, and it's just out there. Damn.
And they don't have their guac gun anymore.
Nope. I feel like the guac gun was never gonna get rid of either Uncle Ike or whatever that thing was.
No.
It could probably
would have turned it into guac and then it would have and it would have come back to life.
Yeah, and you would have had all that.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it could take out a demon. Like, you know, one of Eamon's like regular.
It could
regular
take out
dudes.
That bartender.
Yes, creepy bartender.
Bartender.
All right, anything else you want to cover?
Nicole is still acting very funny, and she doesn't want to talk about the proposal. She used sex as a weapon.
That's right.
She totally did.
But they look so cute together.
They're little, like adorable sheets. They were all wrapped up in.
Okay, but they're in the kitchen, and where did that sheet come from? Do they keep a supply
from,
of sheets
like,
the in
the
kitchen
that
for this?
Probably has. I don't know.
Yeah. Or is it a tablecloth?
It was very thick for like a sheet.
Yeah. So maybe it was a tablecloth.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel that. I also like the fact that Waverly was ready to give a PowerPoint presentation with a notebook.
Which we never got to see.
I'm very sad that we missed that. I wonder if it's in the extras.
Yeah. I wonder if Nicole is just shying away from the proposal stuff and all that kind of talk just because she knows she's hiding something from Waverly. Mm-hmm. And
she feels guilty.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't want to go into a talk about a lifetime commitment while you are hiding something from the other person.
Yeah, we don't know what that is. We don't know what she promised.
Yeah.
Teaser.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or just tormenting us a little further.
A little bit. I loved Waverly's hair scrunchie. I'm glad that those are still a thing because I wear them all the time.
I got rid of all my old scrunchies and I have no new ones.
They are coming back.
They're back. I just bought one a couple weeks ago at my hairdresser's.
I have seen people post pictures.
It's not really long enough right now to for scrunchie. I cut off all my COVID hair, so.
Yeah, you would just be all scrunchy.
It's true.
I've seen people post pictures from like Etsy pages with like, you know, genre, you know, prints and stuff like that. So you could, you know, maybe there's, speaking of Etsy, maybe there's an Etsy store that has some Winona Earp scrunchies that you could
scrunchie up.
My hair's too thin for scrunchies. Like, it's long enough, but scrunchies always just fall right out. It doesn't matter how many times I wrap them around.
Oh, I always used to have to put a elastic in and then a scrunchie.
Oh, see, even if I do that, like, it still just
falls out.
Slides right off.
Mm-hmm.
I will wear all the scrunchies for all of us.
I was sad when scrunchies went out.
Me too.
Yep.
Yeah, those scrunchies.
All right. Well, I feel like
we're off topic.
Usually, the trick to me as the quote-unquote host of this show is when we start talking about something that's not directly related to Winona Earp, we're about done. So I feel like I feel like we've hit that point. All right. Well, this time, one of the things that was the most troublesome, besides not being in the same room, of trying to record remotely was trying to get our final line in sync, because that is impossible to do over Zoom.
Yeah, I don't think we did it.
We didn't do it very well. No, what we ended up doing was faking it. Yes, each one of us said it like one after the other, and our crackerjack producer, Steven, thank you, Steven, edited it together to make it sound like we were talking at the same time. We are dirty cheaters. Usually we don't do much editing here, but that was the
exception. We had dorks of magic, and by we, I mean Steven.
Yep, exactly.
It worked.
But it did. But now we won't have to do that. So instead, we can just say, until next time, everybody.
Lights out, bitch.